From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought taken from Morning and Evening, a collection by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, and that will be followed by some Christ-honoring sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The fatherhood of God is common to all His children. Ah, little faith, you have often said, "Oh, that I had the courage of great heart, that I could wield His sword and be as valiant as He." But alas, I stumble at every straw, and a shadow makes me afraid. Listen, little faith. Great Heart is God's child, and you are God's child too. And Great Heart is not one whit more God's child than you are. Peter and Paul, the highly favored apostles, were of the family of the Most High, and so are you also. The weak Christian is as much a child of God as the strong one. This covenant stands secure, though earth's old pillars bow. The strong, the feeble, and the weak are one in Jesus now. All the names are in the same family register. One may have more grace than another, but God, our Heavenly Father, has the same tender heart towards all. One may do more mighty works, and may bring more glory to his Father. But he whose name is the least in the kingdom of heaven is as much the child of God as he who stands among the king's mighty men. Let this cheer and comfort us when we draw near to God and say, Our Father. Yet, while we are comforted by knowing this, let us not rest contented with weak faith, but ask, like the apostles, to have it increased. However feeble our faith may be, if it be real faith in Christ, we shall reach heaven at last. But we shall not honor our Master much on our pilgrimage, neither shall we abound in joy and peace. If then you would live to Christ's glory and be happy in His service, seek to be filled with the Spirit of adoption more and more completely, till perfect love shall cast out fear.
Save in the arms of Jesus.
From the vine of sorrow.
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've made mention of Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. But in addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. On this edition of Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies in the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this message, his focus is on Philip. A very practical man, Philip seems to have had difficulty believing unless he could see. Yet, in spite of that limitation, the Lord Jesus called him to be one of his disciples. A lesson to us that the Lord is able to use ordinary people. Although Philip may have been influenced by other of the disciples, it was the Lord Jesus himself who sought him out and brought him to salvation. Once he came to Christ, Philip immediately sought out Nathanael, and in spite of that man's objections, brought him to the Savior with the simple statement, "Come and see." In this we find a great lesson in the proper focus in soul winning, the power of personal testimony. Now, here is Dr. Cairns to bring the next portion of a message called Philip, Limited but Loyal.
Philip was not brought to Christ because some loving brother went and dragged him to the feet of the Savior and wouldn't let him go without meeting Christ. No, no. Philip was lost. having heard the gospel, having been moved, but not moved enough to come to Christ. But listen, the Lord Jesus found him. I think it was Bengel, the great commentator, who said, the emphasis there makes us believe that he started seeking him. The idea was he sought him until he found him. And isn't that just like the Lord Jesus? Isn't that the picture that he gives us of himself in the 15th chapter of Luke, when he spoke of the sheep that was wandering and going astray? He left the 99 behind him in the safety of the fold, and he went abroad into the places of danger. He went abroad into the places of difficulty, and he sought and he sought until he found that which was lost. That's exactly what he did with Philip. Now, as I've said, what the Lord Jesus said to him, we don't know. But there's one thing we do know. And that's clear from verse 45. Whatever the Lord Jesus said to Philip, he convinced Philip from Scripture that he was the promised Christ. Philip was not carried away in a mere wave of emotion. I'm sure the verse that follows proves that there was emotion. Let's not be afraid of the proper expression of emotion in religion. Any man who says that he has no place for emotion in the things of God knows very little of God and the things of God. But Philip was not merely carried on a wave of emotion. Philip took what the Lord Jesus said, and as he went through the Scriptures, my, what a sermon that must have been when the Lord Jesus took Philip through what Moses wrote, and then what the prophets wrote. And as he went through the Scriptures, he showed him in place after place after place, I am he of whom Moses and the prophets did speak. I am the promised Christ. Convinced by the word of God, Philip was brought to Christ. The Lord uses many ways to bring people to himself. Some he'll save, like John and Andrew, with the preaching of a great text. That text that saved John and Andrew has been used to bring, I suppose, millions to Christ. Years ago, I told you the incident in the life of Mr. Spurgeon. When he was just a young fellow in London, he could hardly find a place big enough to hold the crowds. And so he decided to move into the Crystal Palace. And not having microphones and things like that, he decided he would need to go and test the acoustics. And so he did. So he went into that great empty building, huge cavernous place. And he got to where he would be in the building when he was preaching. Spurgeon is said to have had a great voice. I think the voice of Spurgeon and the voice of George Whitfield must have been very much of the same kind. Spurgeon stood back, and all alone in that building, he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he listened to the amount of echo. And then again he cried, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Having done his tests, he went home. Years and years later, a man came to Spurgeon. He said, "Mr. Spurgeon, you don't know me and you've never met me. But I was saved the day you went into the Crystal Palace and you thought you were all alone, and I was a workman away up in the scaffolding. And I heard you say, 'Behold the Lamb of God,' and God smote my heart, and I beheld the Lamb, and I was saved." God saves some through a single text, a single statement. Others through the witness of friends, as in the case of Peter. others through taking them through the Scriptures and convincing them from the Word and many places in the Word that this is very Christ. My friend, the issue isn't how you come to Christ or what brings you to Christ. The thing that matters is to get to the feet of the Savior. It's very interesting that we are told the Lord Jesus found Philip. But as soon as Philip was found, he went out to Nathanael. And what did he say? Do you notice the change? He did not say, Christ found me. Now that would be true. But he says, we have found the Christ. Christ found Philip. But Philip's testimony was, Nathanael, I have been seeking. My heart has been stirred over many months. I have listened to the preaching of the Baptist. I have been yearning for redemption in Israel. I have been looking for God's answer to my soul's needs. I have found the Christ. That's why he was down in Judea. He was seeking, and the seeking was not in vain. But you see, we are told Jesus found him. Because here's a very serious thing. Even Philip's seeking couldn't have saved him. Philip's seeking would just have been very likely to lead him astray. You could never trust the human heart, even in its own seeking. There was a seeking soul, and there came a seeking Savior. A seeking soul and a seeking Savior. There's always a connection, you know, between seeking and finding. David said to Solomon, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. The Lord said through Jeremiah, ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart. The Lord Jesus said, seek and ye shall find. Everyone that seeketh, findeth. That's the promise. There is an infallible connection between seeking and finding. Philip was stirred to seek for God's salvation. And God's salvation incarnate came and found him. Philip's salvation. The immediate reaction when he got saved was to serve the Lord. And so we'll think for a moment of Philip's consecration. Now it's seen in two things. First of all, he followed Christ. And second, he sought others to follow Christ. That's consecration. You don't need a big theological discussion as to what consecration is. He followed Christ and then he sought others to follow Christ. Watch it carefully. He began as soon as he personally came to know Christ. And that's the time to start. If you're a young Christian, I'll tell you this. The sooner you start witnessing for Christ, the better. Don't wait until you're older. Don't wait until you know more. Don't wait until you have had certain other experiences. If you've experienced God's pardon and God's grace, then go and tell it. You don't need to wait. We find that Philip, using his own personal testimony, didn't have great knowledge. In fact, he made a theological blunder of the worst order. He comes to Nathanael and he says, we have found him of whom Moses and the prophets did speak, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Now, there is a sense, legally, that the Bible establishes Jesus to be the son of Joseph. So that he would have a legal linealogy, or whatever the word should be there. Blame that on my cold. Going back through Mary and Joseph, through the house of David. Lineage is the word. But the truth of the matter is, he wasn't the son of Joseph. I mean, in theology, that is utter heresy. You and I would never go witnessing to say, here is the son of Joseph. No, we would say, here is the virgin-born Son of Mary, who is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. But Philip wasn't instructed as yet. Philip was just a newborn babe. He did make mistakes. New Christians will make mistakes. But man, if you're going to wait until you've got your PhD in theology before you begin to witness for Christ, you're never going to witness for Christ. First of all, most of you are not going to be PhDs. And secondly, there are not too many PhDs, present company excluded. There are not too many PhDs that you ever find that are on fire to witness to others for Christ. And that's a sad truth. So don't be waiting. Start right now. That's when Philip started. And he went witnessing. And I'll tell you, though he didn't have a great deal of knowledge, he did have a great deal of wisdom. He went to Nathanael and he says, "We have found him." Now Nathanael was a good man. I'm not going to cover his life tonight. That will come in the Lord's will next week. But Nathanael was a good man, undoubtedly learned in the scriptures to a much, much greater degree than Philip. But sort of a cynic. Certainly prejudiced. And he says, "Nazareth? You can just see him. Nazareth? What are you talking about? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Now here's Philip's wisdom. Philip could have answered him in many ways. Philip could have said, "That kind of generalization is always wrong." And he'd be right to say that. There's an awful lot of Nathanael in most of us, and we're willing just with huge sweeping generalizations to take entire populations and consign them to the rubbish tip of history. They count for nothing. That's always wrong. He could have answered them that way. He could have said, "Well, you know, Jesus Christ is not really of Nazareth. He's only living in Nazareth, brought up in Nazareth, but he was born in Bethlehem." And then he'd have been into the whole thing of that linealogy again. You see? He could have answered him in many ways. But he didn't. He said, "Come and see. Come and see." Was Vance Havner, the old Southern Baptist preacher, who said, "One man with a glowing experience of God is worth a library full of arguments." One man with a glowing experience of Christ, who can honestly, with the beaming testimony of his own countenance to back up his words, who can honestly say, "I have found him, come and see," that man will be more effective in winning souls for Christ than a man with his PhD in Christian evidences and apologetics. And Philip, the newborn saint, he knew that it was better to win a soul than to win an argument. Never forget that. When you go witnessing for Christ, remember this is a battle. Even nice people like Nathanael can be sort of off-putting and cynical and sarcastic, and they can throw in little statements and questions to trip you up and maybe to get under your skin or make you angry or get you off the track. Get a single focus when you're witnessing for Christ. After all, when you go witnessing for Christ and somebody says, "You go to a Presbyterian church?" What? Are you a lunatic? You listen to a raving Irishman every week? Listen. They could become Presbyterians and perish in hell. The focus of your witness is not to justify or vindicate this church or any other church. The focus of your witness is to win a soul. Not an argument. Philip says, come and see.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.